Where would we be without our mothers? Huh? First of all, we wouldn't be here, would we? I know you all have big plans today. You have Mother's Day dinners and things you want to do. I'll try and get out of here in good time. I want to start out this morning with Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. I want to make a few points this morning. Father in heaven, I thank you for this word, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. I pray that, Lord, that you would help us to help me to be clear and help us to be able to learn from what your word you've given me this morning. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of you know what this is. A lot of you. 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You know, when growing up as a youth, a lot of us probably didn't think of this, but the Bible says if we'll honor our father and our mother, the days will be long in the land that we live. Now, this was referring to the children of Israel in the promised land back then, but I believe it pertains to us today. You know, if we'll honor our parents, our mothers, God will give us a good life. And that's a promise. Honor means to prize highly, to show respect, to glorify and exalt. How many of you is sitting here this morning can look back on your life and think of times when you didn't honor your mother or your father? And you did things that you regret it later on. I remember growing up, I won't get into the details, and right now my mind's blank. I can't think of it. But that's good. But the thing I remember was I said something to my mom, and when I was probably 50 years old, she repeated this to people. She thought it was funny at the time. But every time she would repeat this, I would put my head down and say, Mom, do you have to tell that story again? You know, like I said, I don't remember what it was, but I remember how embarrassed it used to be, just like the fact that he's my baby. You know, growing up, he's my baby. I was always the baby. You know, no matter how old I got or how big I got, I was the baby. But I had a good mom. I'll never forget the day when she was dying and we left the home down there. You know, I never thought I'd feel that way. But when I walked out of the home, it just overwhelmed me that this could be the last time you see her alive. I was there when she died then, but it just hit me how much of a loss that was and would be the last time I saw my mother. And guys, that's why I'm telling you this morning, honor your mother when she's alive. Don't wait till she's dead to honor her. Now's the time to honor her. Now's the time. Since family is a key component in society, proper relationship must be maintained in the family. There always needs to be a proper relationship with the children and the parents. You know, girls don't have a problem. Most girls don't have a problem loving their mother and honoring their mother. But boys, for some reason, have a problem hugging their mom. Guys, some of you are sitting over there smiling. Hug your mom. Girls, hug your mom. Hug your mom. There's two things that mothers like. That's your love, your attention, and your affection. And the most important thing is your love for God. There isn't a mother in this place this morning that doesn't want her children, if she's truly a born-again Christian, serving God. There's nothing, especially a father, you know, I know how I feel, and I'm sure my wife feels the same. Matt, well, I know she does. Matt shared this morning how that when he'd get up every morning, my wife was, he would see her praying. Part of that was because we lived in a small house and there was no place for her to go. In those days, we lived in a different, we lived where Terry and Marty lived. So she probably prayed in the living room or not, went by her every morning. But I know that my children are where they're at because of my wife's prayers. My grandchildren have gotten a lot of prayers from their mother, their grandmother. Girls, just this is a little extra for free for those of you that aren't married yet. When you marry a guy, when you begin to date a guy, check and see how he treats his mother. If he doesn't treat his mother nice, I suggest you don't marry the boy. Mothers make the difference in this world. Mothers are the ones that control us men, believe it or not. And I sincerely mean this. My wife gets what she wants, one way or another. And I mean that in a good way. If I don't say yes, then she prays it in. She goes to a higher authority. But mothers are something special. Mothers are something special in God's eyes. Mothers were always special. The Catholics worship the Mother of Jesus. And so today is a special day. I don't care who you are or what you think. Today is special. Make it special. Make sure today, if your mother's alive, that you give her a big hug if you can, if she's within reach. Call her. Do something for your mother today. Because there'll be coming a day when you won't be able to. Just like me. My mother's gone. Leviticus 19:3, it says, every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. And I'm throwing this in for extra two this morning. This has nothing to do with living by the law. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. I believe it's important that you teach your children to honor the Lord's Day. We call it the Lord's Day. Back then it was Saturday, the Sabbath. We worship the Lord now on the Lord's Day, which is the first day of the week. But I believe part of the problem in homes today and in children relating to the teachers in school and the police and whoever is that they weren't taught to honor the Sabbath. They weren't taught to honor God first. See, if we don't honor God, we aren't going to honor anybody. So teach your children to honor God and they'll honor you. Taking time out one day a week for the Lord isn't going to hurt you. I said to somebody the other day, Just 2 hours, he said, I don't have time to go to church. I said, you mean to tell me you don't have 2 hours that you could give to the Lord? Just 2 hours, let alone a whole day. As I said, that was free. I believe you can learn to honor God and your children will honor you. Remember that. Mark 2:27-28 says, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Lord, the Son of Man, is Lord also of the Sabbath. So Jesus is truly Lord of the Sabbath. And he wants us to honor him. Let's turn then to Genesis chapter 21. There's two ladies here. In their own way are pretty great ladies. Sarah and Hagar. Most of us never think much about Hagar being a great lady. But in her own way, she was. Genesis 21, verse 9. It says, Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian whom she had bore to Abraham, scoffing. Therefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her, voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. First of all, Sarah here was protective of her child. Did you notice that? How Sarah, when she saw Ishmael harassing her child, she went to Abraham and said, do something. We got to do something. Now, originally it was Sarai, if you remember the story, Sarai, whose idea it was for Abraham to have a baby by Hagar. Sarai was before what we would consider today, we got saved. Then God changed her name to Sarah. So you got to be careful, men, whether you're listening to a woman that is a Christian. Are you hearing me? Sarai, before she had her name changed, didn't give very good advice. But when her name was changed to Sarah, God said to Abraham, listen to your wife. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. How many of you can hear God through your wife, you men? Does God ever speak to you through your wife? He often does. How many of you like to hear when God speaks through your wife? Listen to her. God speaks through the woman many times, through the mother, because I believe she prays a lot usually and cares. Yes, I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman, because he is your seed. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, he gave it and she and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water in the skin was used up, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. Then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about bow shot, for she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept. See, she loved that boy. She wept. She sat opposite him and wept because she couldn't bear to see him die. And God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar, out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? I thought that was pretty funny. Have you ever said that to your wife or your husband? What ails you? God says, what ails you, Hagar? How come you're sitting over here by yourself and the boy's sitting over here? Arise, lift up the lad and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. So God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. His mother took a wife for him. Again, here was a mother who we often thought was the bad one. But even though she, you know, wasn't of the original Jewish seed, she still cared about her child. I don't care what mother it is, she cares about her child. And the thing that is amazing, here is a single mother. And I'm talking, I want to mention this to anybody here that is a single mother or a single parent. Here's an example of how God will look out for a single mother. She wasn't the perfect lady, but still in all, God saved her son. God used her to find him a wife. She was a good woman in her own right. And whether you're a single mother or not this morning, God will take care of you and your child, just like he did for Hagar. If he'll do it for Hagar, he'll do it for you. I realize there's not too many single mothers here, but there's just one. There's just two. Single parent, single father, whatever. God, if you'll cry out to God, God will take care of you and your seed. That's a promise. Just because things go wrong in your family doesn't mean you're a bad parent. You realize that? Lots of times when a family has a child that goes wayward or they have struggles and problems in their family, that does not mean you're a bad parent. Did you hear me? Because if that were the case, then God would be a bad parent. Adam and Eve, perfect situation. They had it made. God was their parent. that they made a bad choice. And so just because your children make a bad choice doesn't mean that you're a bad parent. Otherwise, we can all say, God, you messed up. Think about it. Let's turn in closing to 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1, 3 through 8. He says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefather did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Remember, he remembered Lois, the grandmother, and their mother, Eunice. What a heritage. Matt mentioned this morning his mother and his grandmother. And if you go back, he didn't know his great-grandmother, but his great-grandmother. What a heritage. And many of you this morning have that same heritage. Some of you don't, but you can start a new line. If you're the first-generation Christian, you can start a new line for your children, for your grandchildren. But think of the heritage. Think of what you have because of the gift that's been given to you because of your believing mother and your believing grandmother. Stir up that gift. And I want to prophesy to some of you this morning just what he said here. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of your hands. Many of you here this morning have been blessed with the gift of God because of your heritage. And I want to challenge you this morning. I don't know where you are in the Lord this morning. I don't know how close you are to the Lord. I can look at you and say, well, yeah, he's a Christian. He's on fire for God. But you know what? I really don't know what's in your heart. Or she's not on fire for God, but I don't know what's in your heart. But I know one thing. The Bible says, stir up that gift. Stir up that gift that was given you by the laying on of hands. Kyle and Ethan and Brendan and Curtis, Matt and Laura. I've been here when the word of the Lord came over all of you. Sandy and Alex, Lindley. Probably missing some. I don't mean to do that. But I was here when the word of the Lord, Travis and Jamie, came over you. Ed and Sarah. Stir up that gift. Don't let it die. There's people going to hell around us. And we need to stir up that gift, that faith that was put inside of us because of our mother's faith, our grandmother's faith. Don't waste your life. God has good things in store for you. He wants to use you. And Chris and Leanne and Stacy and Tricia, all of you. I've heard the word of the Lord come over you. Ben and Carla, I can't think of who I missed here, but most of you, I've heard the word of the Lord come over you. Stacy and Jared, and Ed and Cindy. God's got plans for you. Don't waste it. And all the rest of you that had hands laid on you. I was here, Caroline and Bob. And I think everybody that hasn't been through catechism. I've been there. That's been through catechism, I've been there when you had hands laid on you. Stir up that gift. You have a great heritage. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of your faith. Look what you have. If you don't believe you have anything special, look around you and see the people who are living for the devil and how they live and what they have. They have nothing. But because of your faith and your heritage, you have something. Hold on to it. Amen? If you're here this morning and need prayer for anything, I'd love to pray with you. The altar workers would love to pray with you. as we sing our closing song, come and let us pray with you. You don't have to be a member of this church to get prayer at the altar. If you need prayer, you come, let us pray with you, no matter what the need might be.